This is Business Beat. Welcome. Here each week, KBIA takes a look at the business and economic issues facing Mid-Missouri. I'm Christopher Husted. Now that Thanksgiving has passed, many people have begun to deck the halls, gorge on delectable dishes, and send out greeting cards. Well, that last one might become trickier for some rural residents soon. That's because the U.S. Postal Service is moving ahead to reduce the hours of thousands of post offices across the country. Jennifer Davidson has this report from a rural Ozarks community.
Right now, I'm standing outside the front door of the tiny post office in Pomona, Missouri. It's a very small, white, plaster, concrete building. Pomona is in a rural part of south central Missouri. This is one of the many post offices across the United States, most of them in rural areas, that is slated to significantly reduce its hours in an effort to save money by the U.S. Postal Service.
I think all of the smaller offices in this area, they're all going to that because of, you know, there's a lot of lag time.
Anna Carnifix is the postmaster relief for the Pomona office, and she's right. Scores of very small post offices in the rural Ozarks are reducing their hours, too. Taneyville, Spokane, Niangua, Rockbridge, Walnut Grove, Washburn. The nationwide list is about 4,000 offices long. But Carnifix says in the Pomona office, there will be little impact on customers.
Nothing is changing as far as what they can expect out of the post office other than the hours.
The U.S. Postal Service originally floated the idea of closing thousands of rural post offices to save money, but rural America and its representatives in Congress roared back, prompting the USPS to unveil this new savings plan of reduced hours. Now, it's sending out surveys and holding community town hall meetings to get feedback. Pomona's post office had its town hall meeting a few weeks ago, Carnifix said.
We had a full house. This was stuffed. That room out there was full, and we had a very good attendance of people.
On January 26th, this post office will go from being open 8 hours a weekday to 4 hours. It will be closed in the mornings. Richard Watkins is a spokesman for the USPS based in Kansas City.
It's important so that the Postal Service can not only maintain its presence in thousands of mostly rural communities nationwide, but that we can also look at saving some significant money going forward.
Watkins says the majority of post offices having to reduce their hours are in rural areas because they don't get much traffic.
We know how much revenue comes into our post offices, and that's important, again, because we're not tax supported, but we also know how many retail transactions are being made each day. And at some locations, we were in effect paying a postmaster to be on call, if you will, to sell a handful of stamps each day.
The USPS is giving these low-traffic communities four options: to keep their offices open with reduced hours, to close the offices but keep mail routes, to close the offices but use an alternative retail spot like a grocery store, or to just close it and use another post office. Most communities, Watkins says, have chosen option one. The U.S. Postal Service is not tax-supported, and Watkins says it wants to keep it so. But the way Americans send mail is ever-changing, and the Postal Service is scrambling to adapt. When the Post Office Structure Plan, or POST Plan, is fully implemented in September of 2014, the U.S. Postal Service says it expects to save about $500 million a year. The Postal Service ended the 2012 fiscal year with a record net loss of $15.9 billion. That's according to a release from the USPS. It's asking Congress to waive its pre-funded retirement benefits and to have more flexibility in running its operation. I'm Jennifer Davidson.
Another holiday tradition for many families is a road trip to pick up a Christmas tree. In this story from Harvest Public Media, Pat Blank reports from Iowa that supplies should be good this year, but could be scarce in years to come.
In the Dr. Seuss book, it was the Grinch who stole Christmas. But for some Midwest tree growers, it may be the drought who eventually steals the holiday. Danny Molds owns Kris Kringle's Trees just north of Cedar Falls, Iowa. He says the hot, dry summer took a harsh toll on his newly planted seedlings.
We did lose about 15,000 Christmas trees in a 46-acre farm. And we did lose, you know, the thing with the fir trees, you know, we lost not just, you know, the little ones that we planted this year, and we lost, you know, last year's.
Had those young trees survived, they would have been ready for harvest in 2019. Because the drought was so widespread, Iowa Department of Natural Resources District Forester Mark Vitage says in the future it may be harder to find the more popular varieties.
You have to have each size in your rotation to be able to have enough trees to grow every year. So they've lost a year. So I would say in the next 6 to 9 years, that's where the gap will probably be.
The good news for now is that most of the mature trees are okay. Danny Mould says there'll be plenty of Scotch and white pines available this season, and he's made arrangements to supplement his supply of firs, which are popular for their silver-green branches and their aroma.
We have a really nice relationship with a lady in Wisconsin where we cut our trees fresh and we get them down here, and we bring them about a day to 2 days earlier before we open and get them set up.
Molds is among dozens of growers affected throughout the Midwest. He says, fortunately, not all those suppliers are suffering. In fact, he'll be turning to them for his replacement stock.
Our growers are the, you know, Wisconsin, Michigan, Minnesota. But they're irrigated. It's irrigated, so they're fine, you know, and they just do seed. We get seedlings in, so we're bringing them in, you know, about the 12 inches for the fir trees, and some of the whites and scotches might only be 6 inches. We like them a little smaller just because they can kind of sometimes adapt a little better.
Iowa State University outreach experts estimate between 60 and 80% of the evergreen seedlings planted in Iowa in 2012 did not survive. Similar reports were filed in Nebraska and parts of Illinois. Moult says what makes the situation even more difficult is that he can't file a claim to recoup what he's lost.
And we don't have any insurances for this. You know, we're not a corn or soybean, so we don't get subsidized on that side. But, you know, we'll weather, the storm here a little bit, and we'll replant.
Mould says Christmas tree growers know the risks of the business. If it's not weather-related, sometimes it's insects or wildlife that reduce the profits. He says he knows of an Iowa producer who had part of his crop eaten by deer in 2011 and had the rest of it destroyed by this year's drought. I'm Pat Blank for Harvest Public Media.
That will do it for Business Beat this week. You can head to kbia.org to check out these stories and more. I'm Christopher Husted. Thanks for listening.
It's coming on Christmas. They're cutting down trees. They're putting up reindeer and singing songs of joy and peace. Oh, I wish I had a river I could skate.